So we are going to be talking about money because that's the topic that Mr. Leonard and Mr. Taylor chose. Money, as you know, is a very sensitive topic. It shouldn't be. But maybe because it's an American god that we don't like it when somebody pokes at it. But as one, we do not shy away from the topics that are covered in the Bible. Jesus actually preached about money 15% of the time. And that's more than heaven and hell combined. And so if Jesus talked about it, we don't talk about it, we're not being faithful. And so we will do that today. Now, so you heard the story, and I'm hoping that you know the story. So we will get straight to the point, and I'll be as practical as possible. There are three takeaways from the stories that they told today. And the takeaways are these, and they're in your bulletin. Number one, don't serve money, rather serve God with our money. And number two, it's God's money, not ours. And the third takeaway is, we'll be measured in the end by how much we have given away, not by how much we have kept. So if I offend you today, I am truly sorry. I don't mean to on purpose, but again, I'm following Jesus' footsteps. Okay, so please hear me with an open heart. Number one, don't serve money. Rather, serve God with money. How do we know we are serving money? Let me give you some examples. First of all, when our major decisions are based on money, when our major decisions are based on following money, then we know that we are serving money. For example, we automatically follow the job that will pay us the most money. Then we are automatically, we are following, right, money as our master. Or you select your college major based upon how much it will pay you in the future. So you look at what you're good at, and you look at what you want to do, what you are passionate about, and then you look at the listings, all the starting salary of all these jobs, and you pick the one that will pay you the most. If you do that, then you are following money. You are serving money because money is your master. Wherever money goes, that's where you go. If the job takes you there and it will give you so much money, then others, then you will go, well, you're slavishly following money. And that is the nature of a servant, isn't it? A servant simply follows where the master will go or what the master tells him to do. And so if we are following money, wherever it may lead, then that shows us that we have been enslaved to money. We are serving money, and then we are not using money to serve God. Here's a food for thought. We naively and mistakenly think more is better, right? We think since we are happier with $100, then $1,000, we assume that having $1 million is better than having $100,000. So more is always better, is it? That's what I want to question today. Listen, money has diminishing returns as it goes higher and higher. After a while, actually, at a certain point, it actually has a reverse, what I call a reverse return. In other words, after a certain point, the more money you have, actually, the more miserable you will be. We assume that it's a linear function, right? The more we have, the happier we'll be. No, it's actually a bell curve, right? Or half of a sine wave, if you will, those of you who take math, right? After a while, it plateaus, and then it starts going down. And the more we have, actually, the unhappier we will be. More on that a little bit later, how that will be, okay? Second way we know that we are serving money is when you don't think you can tithe because you make so little. How many of us think, right? You know what? Right now, I'm barely making ends meet. My family won't be able to eat if I give 10% of what I earn, right? It doesn't make sense. We can't even live on 100%. We need 110% or 120%. How can we live on 90%? What I'm saying is that if that's your thinking process, then you're probably serving money. Here is a contra logic to that. I understand the logic, right? If you're making so little and you're barely passing by, right, then how can you give out of the little that you have. So you're thinking, you know what? If God blesses me, if I make a little more, right, later on, then I will give. However, that's false logic, and here's why. If you cannot give $100 and you have earned $1,000, what makes you think you will give $10,000 when you make $100,000? If you cannot give $100 out of $1,000 that you have made, right? Because, wow, that's a lot of money. What makes you think you will give $10,000 when you make $100,000? That's a lot of money. That's too much money to give. I'm sorry, I need that. Because by then, your lifestyle has expanded to need all that money, right? And so that's false logic. It never works. People that have told me, you know what, right now I just can't, but when I make a little more, right, when our condition improves, then I will. Almost never. It works exactly the opposite way. Third way that we know that we are serving money is when you keep thinking, if I only had a little more money, I'll be happier. Ask yourself, where is your happiness coming from then? If I make a little more, then I'll be happier. Where is your happiness coming from? Money, right? Because having a little more of it, I'll be happier. Again, it's a slippery slope. You will never get there. You could make 20 million, and then you see somebody else make 100 million, and you go, you know what? I'll be happier if I made a little more like he did. Our lifestyle will expand to fill whatever amount we are making. We're almost like an infinite glob of greed, right? It will just overwhelm and wrap whatever we are making, and it won't be enough. Again, that's because we are made for eternity, right? Only God is big enough to fill us, not $100 billion. Look at what Jeff Bezos is doing. Idiot. What is he doing, right? Making spaceships so that people can invest in money and then go out and have a space exploration and so on. Are you serious? There are people starving to death right now, right? They could use your $100 million or $1 billion. Anyway, sorry. So we are serving money if that is how we are thinking. Listen, money is like food in our stomach. Think of it that way. Money is like food in our stomach. Just the right amount is good for our stomach and good for our body. Too little of it, we get hungry and we might steal. Too much of it, what happens as Americans, right? The biggest people in the world, right? Sideways. Too much of it, right, makes us fat and lazy. And the more we have, more we have to consume, right? Because we now weigh more, and in order to sustain our weight, we have to have more. Money is exactly like that. Just the right amount. I'm not saying you should all be poor. No, just the right amount is good for us, healthy for us. Too little of it, we might be tempted to steal, right, or cheat. Too much of it will make us fat spiritually and unhealthy for us. There's an awesome verse in Proverbs 30:7 through 9. It goes like this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Let me ask you, how many of you ever prayed, God, do not make me rich. Do not make me poor either, but do not make me rich. If I know myself, and if I know you, most of us, right? Make me rich, God. Because if you make me rich, I'll give a lot to you back, right? To the missions, to church. I'll build a big building for my church. Make me rich. But you know what? I used to pray that when I was younger, and I'm so glad that God did not answer that prayer because I do not trust myself. If God made me rich, I'm not sure that if I had given a lot of it away to God. Maybe if God made me, if God gave me 10 million, then maybe I'll give 1 million back to God tithing, but I'll keep 9 million for myself. I tithe it, right? I feel good about myself. But I don't think I can trust myself with that, and so I will not pray that prayer now because I'm afraid that God will make me rich, and I'm so thankful that he did not because I've seen how the riches, right, how the people who are rich in this world got ruined by their own riches. And Bible is true, right? It will ruin us. Just like having a lot of food in our stomach will end up ruining us, having a lot of money might actually end up ruining us. And And it's just like Jesus who cared for us, who preached a lot on this really for our sake. So be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Just a little more will not make you happier. I can't tell you how important that you convince yourself of this, right? Because even as I'm saying this, you're thinking, but Pastor, you don't understand my, right? I got bills to pay. I got debt, like credit card debt. Like, if I only had just a little more, I'll be happy. You won't be. You will not be, is what the scripture is saying. Okay? Be content with what you have. So do not serve money. Then how do we serve God with money? Three things. Start with tithing. Should Christians tithe? Is that even biblical? We know that in the Old Testament, right, times, that they were required to tithe. It was an Old Testament law. But didn't Jesus fulfill the law so that we don't have to keep the Old Testament laws anymore, right? Didn't that change when it changed over from Old Testament to New Testament? Well, let's listen to what Jesus says. In Matthew 23, it says this. Jesus says, you tithe even your spices. Now, he's rebuking the Pharisees who were tithing every little thing that they got, right? If they got some spices from the people, they would just apportion it, so cut it off, right? And then so they will give 10%, right, to the temple. And Jesus looks at this and he says, well, you tithe even, you give 10th of even your spices. And then he says, that's right, you should do that. However, you neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So what he says is, you know what? You tithing everything that you have is a good thing, and you should do that. However, you should do so much more than that. In other words, what Jesus is saying is tithing, giving 10% of everything that we earn, is a start. It's just a start, right? You go beyond that and above that. If in the Old Testament, right, when the glory of the Son of, right, God was not revealed to them and they were required to give 10%, now that the Son of God has died on our behalf and earning our eternal life for us, how much more should we do? That's the argument that Jesus himself is making, right? Hey, high schoolers, let's say you worked at McDonald's and you got $150, right, for your paycheck. $15 of it, right, should go as tithing. You might think to yourself, $15, that's nothing, right? Yeah, so really, that's not even going to help the church. So I'm going to keep that for now. But when I earn a lot of money, then I'm going to tithe. Don't think like that. Again, if you can't give $15 now, you're not going to give $1,500 later on, because it's going to be so much more money. It's like, oh, I can't, like, there's so many things I can do with this money. I don't want to give it. And it's optional, right? Anyway, it's Old Testament law, right? New Testament doesn't apply anymore. Don't go there, right? Don't go there. Listen, faith is in operation when we start doing what does not make sense in our heads. This is a faith issue, right? Faith is only being exercised when we start doing things that do not make sense in our heads. If you only do what makes sense in your heads, oh, even if I give 10%, yep, I can do this and I still have some money left over, yep, that's not faith. If I give 10%, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, right? I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table, but you give anyway, guess what? That's called faith, right? Not by sight. I know a student at our church who told me that because he decided to sponsor a child, a Thai child, that he didn't have enough money to go on a ski trip because he gave his money, right, to sponsor a Thai child. To me, that's real giving, sacrificial giving. So start with tithing. Number two, how do we serve God with our money? Give to the poor. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, command the rich people to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life? Well, it's talking to the rich people, so I'm not rich, so that's not me. Listen, if you make over $40,000, you are at the top 2% of the world's wealthy. If you make $40,000, and that's usually the starting salary after college these days, right? You could be 22 years old and making over $40,000 easily. You are at the top 2% of the world's wealthy. You are rich. I tell my children, when kids ask you at school, right, is your family rich? I tell them to say, yes, we are extremely rich. We got a house. We got two cars. We got grass, right, in our front yard. We are rich compared to the rest of the world. You are rich. And then I tell them, of course, remind your friends that they are rich too, right? We are all rich. So this, right? These verses are talking to us, talking to you and me, not Bill Gates and not Jeff Bezos, right? Talking to us. So, give to the poor. How else can we be serving God through money? Give toward worthy causes that build up the kingdom. Do this with your children. Probably more than 10 years ago, when Senna, my firstborn, was born, actually, Janet and I decided to sponsor a child. And so we went on the Compassion International site, and we picked a country, right, Indonesia. And then what we did was, actually, it was their idea. We picked a child who had the same birthday as my wife, I believe. It was either my wife or Senna, right? And then we picked a child, a girl, right? And we've been sponsoring her for the last, I don't know how many years, like over 10 years, right? She's a teenager now. I mean, she was a little girl when we started first, you know, and then she sends out letters and pictures, and then she writes back, and our kids have, you know, drawn things and back and forth and so on. When I went to Indonesia many years ago, I really wanted to go visit her. I just couldn't make it. But, hey, $35 a month is all it takes, right? Listen, two movies and a popcorn. That's it. A month. You can sponsor a child. Teenagers, you can sponsor a child through Compassion International. That will be life-changing for somebody. So much more worth than, you know, watching movies every, right, month and having popcorn with it, okay? So let's serve God by tithing, giving to the local church, giving to the poor, and giving toward worthy causes. That's my first observation, and I'm going to go a little bit quicker. Second observation from the passage is that it's God's money and not ours. That's exactly what the parable of the talent is about, right? Who gave these servants, three servants, the money in the very beginning? Now, a talent is a very large sum of money. Some say it's worth $2 million or $3 million. But who gave these servants that kind of money? They didn't earn it. No, it came from the master. Master says, here you go, $5 million. Here you go, $2 million, right? Here you go, $1 million. Do something with it. And then at the end, they had to give it all back, didn't they? Right? It wasn't their money to begin with, and it wasn't their money to keep in the end. They were stewards, in other words. They only had the money for the time being, and when the master came back, they had to give it all back. Listen, everything that you and I have right now, right? Money, house, children, whatever you have, talents, right, gifts that you have, right? All of that had been given to you only to be taken up by God in the end. And what will matter is what have you done with it, right? Have you done anything good with it for his kingdom and for the people that need it? Or did you all keep it to yourself? Everything that we have really came from God and will go right back to God. Listen, when I was in college, I went to this Christian conference, and at the end, they gave each of the students $10. And they said, you have 1 hour to spend that $10. Now, if you don't spend that $10, you got to give it right back to the conference. And so go, you have 1 hour. So I partnered up with another friend of mine who also got $10. So we had $20, and we found a homeless person. I mean, it was in New York City. It's very easy to find a homeless person in New York City, right? And say, hey, can we treat you? Took him to a restaurant, right? We all ate good. And then at the end of the day, like, we had no money left, right? And we were very happy about that because, first of all, we weren't spending our money, right? $10 was a lot of money in college back then, all right? Poor students, right? So, hey, we spent all of the money, and then we did something good with it. Everything that you own is like that. right? It did not come from you, and you're not going to keep it. You only have it for the time being. Whatever you have at the end, guess what? Will be taken away. You know this verse, 1 Timothy 6. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Whether you're a billionaire or a homeless person, the final account is exactly the same. $0. You came with $0. You go out with $0. Everything that you have, you will lose. So what will you do with it? Will you be a good steward? Okay? So it's God's money, not ours. Listen, in this vein, can I give you a little different perspective on what tithing is? Tithing is God's letting us keep 90% of his money. Ever thought of it that way? Tithing is God letting us keep 90% of his money. It's all of his money. And he's letting us keep 90% of it. If we say, I'm not going to tithe, that means I want to use 100% of it. All of it, God. I want to use all of it, even though it's yours. Third observation. We'll be measured by how much we've given away and not how much we've kept. The master in the talent story demands a return for his investment, right? And those who worked hard at using their talents and producing more were rewarded. And those who didn't, the one with one talent, was severely punished. In other words, we are to use our talents and treasures and our time for the good of those around us rather than hoarding it for our own benefit. Those who hoarded it and buried it were again severely punished. Malcolm Forbes said, he who dies with the most toys wins. As Christians, we don't subscribe to that. However, we often live like that's true, don't we? Right? We just accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, right? We don't even know how much we really need. We never really even think about it, and we just accumulate. The more is better as Christians, right? Because somehow we ascribe to this mindset that the more we have, the better. And he who ends with most toys in the end really wins. But we know that that is not true, right? We don't have to be a Christian to know that is not true. It will all end with our death, which is a certainty. So Jesus says, lay up your treasure in heaven, and you will see it being returned to you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's a good investment. That's a good investment. How do we do that again? Again, start with tithing. Give to the poor. Give to the worthy causes. And we'll be measured by it in the end. Randy Alcorn, guy who wrote a book called Heaven, says this. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. If God prospers you, if God makes you rich, it is not so that you can raise your standard of living, but so that you can raise your standard of giving. What if we said to ourselves, you know what, $70,000 a year is enough for me. Anything that I make over that, I'm going to give it away. Right? That's not even reverse tithing. That's even better than reverse tithing. Because what if you became a billionaire? You know, I'm still going to live on $70,000 here, and then I'm going to give the rest away. Now, that would be a great way to live, wouldn't it? That would benefit a lot of people. Imagine our children, how blessed they would be if they, right, found out about that. Let me end. If this talk about money was uncomfortable, it was for your freedom. That's why Jesus preached it, right? Jesus didn't preach this to restrict us, but he knows how binding it can be, how many people's lives have been ruined because of money. And he wants us to be free from this American God called money. And one way we can do that is by giving it away, by knowing that we are simply stewards and we'll lose it anyway. And so lay up your treasure in heaven by giving, right? By giving away. Hey, listen. You don't have to give to our church, okay? We will do okay. But for your own joy and for your own freedom, right? Use your money for the kingdom of God. Give it away. Have a plan on how you're going to give it away. Calculate out how much you should give each month, right? The first fruit. And then live on faith, even if you don't think you can do it right now, right? Don't make yourself an excuse saying that when I have little more, then I'll tithe, which never really comes. Why not take a step out in faith? God, you promised, right? You'll never let your children, right, be seen begging for food. So I'm gonna just take your word upon it, right? I'm going to have you be responsible for me. I'm going to throw myself at your feet, and then I'll see what will happen when I do that. And I guarantee you that you will see your faith grow, that you will have freedom, right? And you won't fight about money with your spouse anymore. It won't be that sore cause of conflict and headache, right, and the heartache that it causes so many Americans, even Christians today, for your joy, for your freedom. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Let's pray.